Today's podcast is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial at www.audibletrial.com/AOIS21.
What is Guten Bourbon?
It's an urban German bourbon.
Am I just hungover?
Well, It's Not Even Past, a history of the distant present, hosted by Evan Tucker and the production of the AS21 Podcast Network. This podcast is available on Podmatic, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher Radio, TuneIn, and audio.as21.com.
I used to watch Hank Hippopopoulos' Dance Pop Cosmopolis every day after school. I even bought his novelty rap album, The Hank Hippopopoulos Hip Hop Hypothesis.
I would love to take down Hippopopoulos and finally topple the acropolis of monstrous hypocrisy that ensconces us.
Carolyn, you are my gritty, witty city kitty. I want you with me, fitty, fitty.
Slap my salami, the guy's a commie.
Well, this is turning into a real caper. A real Jill Pill, jail fail, killer whale caper.
Ooh. A job like that, you want a fully present presenter to present. And I don't know if I've got the pep in my step to take that show where it needs to go, you know? I got a real pepless step, Shep.
Piper Perabo and Polly Perrette need to push back the pitch on the Princess and the Pauper project.
Not if you were the last albino rhino gyno on the planet.
Well, I'm the only albino rhino gyno I know.
Should we get some wine?
Oh, great. You're also a wine addict. You know the actress Courtney Portnoy?
I think so. She portrayed the formerly portly consort in the Seaport Resort?
Courtney roles like the formerly portly consort are Courtney Portnoy's forte, but she's got a new action movie that's supposed to change her image. Ms. Taken. You know Mr. Taken from the Taken movies? This is his niece.
Nice.
This was supposed to be Courtney's crossover coronation, but that's sort of been thwarted, unfortunately, because Courtney's purportedly falling short of shoring up four quadrant support.
Makes perfect sense so far.
Portnoy finds joy in hoi polloi boy toy.
Courtney Portnoy, cast in Courts Me If You Can, the 1940s Cannes France set story of a can-can dancer who contracts cancer but continues to can-can as a canny cadaver who plays the accordion with Kevin Corrigan, Kevin Kline, Chris Pine, and Chris Kattan.
Got it.
McGee! Are you still looking for a star for your transgender Teddy Roosevelt Planes, Trains, and Automobiles reboot? Plans, Trans, A Man, A Canal, Panama? Because someone just became available. Courtney, more importantly, audiences are going to adore your tour de force performance as the forceful denim-clad court reporter in the Court Reporter Sported Jorts. The jet-setting, jort-sporting court reporter story. You know Courtney Portnoy. You probably recall when she soared as a thorny horticulturist in One Sworded Fortnight with a short-skirted sorceress. How would you enjoy joining Portnoy for a scorched soy porterhouse pork four course or a koi?
Wait, what?
Glorify your source, but don't make it feel forced, of course. And try the borscht.
So, a brief recapitulation. This is not a room for repudiation or condemnation over string cheese appropriation accusations. Mediation is an invitation for open conversation, frustration, de-escalation, and an exchange of information, which in summation removes any justification for litigation involving this corporation.
I am gross. I feel all the time like a garbage fire. And not a cozy dumpster in a quaint alley, but a barge floating out to sea with no rudder. I am a rudderless, burning, large garbage barge.
And it suddenly dawned on me. Hot cock on a rock, she never even picked up the little noise and snot factory.
But that bounce has lost its pounce. And if we want to keep this name in the news, we're going to need a full court press.
Tommy Schlommy Schmommy Schlommy.
Those kids will be holding out their hands for France. Why grip a Twix when you can sip a Witz?
Flackery Flack, let's talk frack.
I gotta live my life. I deserve to be adored by a man. Yet here my dreams lie dormant. I don't mean to get mordantly morbid, but did I get all adorably adorned to get bored manning doors? No more.
I hate puns. I loathe them. When people call puns the lowest form of humor, they are being much too nice to this evil genre of pseudo-humor, which deserves to be sent to hell without a return address. Puns are the perfect display of humor for people who don't have a sense of humor, and think that the world's feelings are too important to laugh at, except when we make empty displays of cleverness. Which is a shame because most of the people who employ puns as a humor substitute are not good enough at making puns to make decent ones. But BoJack Horseman raises pun to high art. Puns in BoJack are not for their own sake. They exist at the mercy of their story to set the unreal atmosphere of Hollywood, which is already the strangest place on Earth. If Hollywood, or Hollywoo, were portrayed realistically, we'd have no sense of just how strange this place really is. So instead, Hollywoo is populated through the ingenious masks of a world populated by anthropomorphic animals, a place where every denizen is so distinctly individual that they don't seem quite human, and their strangeness and extremity is reflected through their animal-like qualities. And in this way, BoJack Horseman clearly positions itself as a kind of successor work to Who Framed Roger Rabbit, which itself clearly means to channel Chinatown in its portrayal of Los Angeles, in all its both superficial attractiveness and its dark, dark underbelly. A lot of the very greatest TV shows, or at least greatest shows in my esteem and a lot of others, like Mad Men or The Sopranos or Seinfeld, are extremely realistic. The reason they can afford to be realistic is that the cartoonish elements of the characters come to us pre-exaggerated. The recently departed critic Clive James had the perfect line for this, as he did for everything else, that fiction is life without the dull bits. In order to capture life as it's really lived, we need to capture both what's realistic and familiar about life, and also what's strange. All lives need both solace and adventure in equal measure, and great fiction gives us this multidimensional vision of life as it's experienced. So in a work like Mad Men, the mid-century plumage of its ostentatious dress and sets and behavior that now seems strange takes care of itself. With The Sopranos, the reason they can afford to be realistic is even more obvious. The world of Jersey mobsters is already strange to the vast majority of its audience. So by recording their dark and often darkly comic behavior, The Sopranos could afford to focus amply on the ways in which the characters were exactly like us. And with Seinfeld, well, the whole point of Seinfeld was to focus on the extreme minutiae of everyday dilemmas and point up those trivialities of everyday life we take for granted. So if you're focusing on the most extreme elements of micro-realism, you need characters who are simultaneously realistic and believable, yet also so cartoonish that you cannot imagine that real people would ever act that way. And there are no more extreme human cartoons on TV than Cosmo Kramer and George Costanza. But shows like BoJack Horseman or The Simpsons or South Park deal with issues we think about every day. They are completely familiar to our experience rather than aliens, so in order to be compelling, their creators are required to point up the ways that everything we think about is strange. South Park is produced so quickly that literally every episode past the first few seasons is tied directly to whatever the zeitgeist thinks about that week. We already know what we think about. So what we already think about has to be examined for how strange it is.
That's enough! Just stand down, kid! Look, I know why you're here. You're fed up. Because you think all cops do is harass black people. I know that to a young kid it can seem like cops are racist and bigoted, but you can't believe what the media tells you. Cops are just people, like you, your friends, your family. People who work hard to...
Oh! Tupperware!
Damn it, Levinsky, get your ass upstairs! Sir! And turn on the alarm!
Shot at me! Get him!
The Simpsons? Well, The Simpsons is, literally at this point, the archetypal American family. In its 1990s golden age, it examined over and over again the most recurrent universal themes, not just in American life, but in world life, and do it in ways that are completely original.
God? Thou hast forsaken my church!
Well, kind of, but...
But what?
I'm not a bad guy. I work hard and I love my kids. So why should I spend half my Sunday hearing about how I'm going to hell?
You've got a point there. You know, sometimes even I'd rather be watching football. Does St. Louis still have a team?
No, they moved to Phoenix.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I really hate about church? Those boring sermons.
I couldn't agree more. That Reverend Lovejoy really displeases me. I think I'll give him a canker sore.
Give him one for me.
I will.
So I figure I should just try to live right and worship you in my own way.
Homer, it's a deal. Now, if you'll excuse me, I have to appear in a tortilla in Mexico.
And then there is BoJack. BoJack is not about American life in nearly the same way, but it is about Hollywood, the element of American life that has dominated some, even troublesomely say, controlled American discourse for a whole century. Hollywood is so woven into the fabric of American experience that we take it completely for granted. We've even elected a two-term president who is a lifetime Hollywood resident. What we take for granted about Hollywood is that the people who control the discourse of this town are such atypical oddballs among Americans that there is no way they will properly represent American concerns in ways that are good for anybody but them, and the ways they represent America are not even good for them. What makes BoJack Horseman work is that all the artifice and the glitz of its characters are clearly a cover for very, very human emptiness and hurt. And BoJack graphs an extremely precise map of how that hurt spreads from one person to the next, one person passing on the psychic wound to the next like original sin. It's not a perfect show. Next to something like Mad Men or even The Simpsons, I think BoJack is sometimes a little too orderly in how it assumes that there can be penance and redemption done for wrongs and solutions for how to act more ethically, particularly political solutions, when there is so much evidence, on the show no less than elsewhere, that the sins of one lifetime are crosses to bear for which there is no way to truly unburden oneself. But there is so much about BoJack that is right and good in how it represents bad. The evil, both unwitting and sometimes witting, at the heart of American prosperity is laid bare here as rarely ever done in any work of American fiction. On a note whose relation will be explained momentarily, I don't think BoJack's distributor, Netflix, is a good development for television. Netflix clearly means to crowd out the market for 300 cable channels that gave us this 20-year golden age, and Netflix caters so precisely and algorithmically to every demographic that no shows can spread their wings in a way that's truly experimental because it might alienate its target audience. So it shouldn't come as a surprise that Netflix is canceling its most successfully experimental show a couple years before the creators hoped to end it. But the cancellation turned out to be a move so presciently correct that it was uncanny. I yield to very few people in my BoJack fandom, but aside from that stunning funeral episode last year, I couldn't help noticing that the show was losing a bit of steam. The cancellation forced the show's writers and animators to refocus their aim. Every episode, every scene now matters, and this bizarre, nebulous way TV shows have of extending their final season to two shorter half-seasons that make up a larger final season seems to work incredibly well for BoJack in a manner it didn't really even for Mad Men. Every one of the 8 episodes just released is among their best, and together they comprise a new peak. Perfect or imperfect, this, one of the strangest television shows ever made, is also one of the best. I envy anyone who has yet to make its acquaintance.
Much of what happened, what is discovered now, will of course be secret. We will not be given the full answer.
This has been It's Not Even Past, a history of the distant present, brought to you by Evan Tucker, a production of the Ears 21 Podcast Network, and brought to you by Ears 21 Audio. Find these and other episodes on Podmatic, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher Radio, TuneIn, and our home on the web, audio.as21.com. Find us on Facebook at facebook.com/itsnoteven past. That's it for this episode, but he'll be back, because the past isn't dead, it's not even past. If you like this podcast, consider becoming a patron of the AS21 Podcast Network. Visit www.patreon.com/AS21 and donate today. Any amount will unlock special perks including bonus episodes and behind-the-scenes tidbits. That's patreon.com/AYS21.
Copyright 2019, AS21 Media, LLC, all rights reserved. AS21 Media. What do you want your story to be?